Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time. While there are numerous healing and miracle stories recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John includes only three. Today we'll hear the story of the healing of the royal official's son. The other two are the healing of the blind man and the healing of the man at the pool in Bethesda. In each interaction, we learn something from the diversity and also the similarity of characters and experiences. Today's story is going to conclude the Cana to Cana cycle that we've touched on in previous weeks, and so we're going to take just a minute to touch on that significance. Place is theology in John. Jesus begins by working on behalf of the Jewish people at the wedding in Cana with a lesson on the abundance and the extravagance of God's love. That ministry then expands to embrace Samaritans in the story of the woman at the well, where we learn that Jesus sees, knows, and welcomes all. This portion of the journey concludes by including even Gentiles, as his ministry to the royal official brings this ministry full circle. Today's story picks up following Jesus' claim to be Savior of the universe, and we're going to see evidence of that claim in action today. Let's pray. God of miracles, sometimes we are slow to believe in your power, even when your miracles occur around us each and every day. Open our eyes to see and our hearts to believe. Amen. I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, and follow along as we hear scripture read by Mandy, Keeley, and Oakley Gross.
After the 2 days he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he made the water wine, and at the Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him,
"Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe."
The official said to him,
"Sir, come down before my child dies."
Jesus said to him,
"Go, your son will live."
The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him,
"Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him."
The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him,
"Your son will live."
And he himself believed, and all his household.
Then he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had changed the water into wine. John intentionally reminds the reader of this earlier sign taking place in Cana with double emphasis, connecting these two stories. Now, central in the book of John is this focus on believing. If you remember, following the sign at the wedding, the disciples believed in Jesus. Today, we're going to take a deeper look at the belief of this royal official. In both stories, a character makes a request of Jesus, and instead of immediately acting, Jesus pushes back with what seems to be a gentle no, or at best, a not yet.
both the official and Jesus' mother persist, and Jesus delivers. Stories are also connected by the town of Capernaum. In the first story, Jesus, his mother, the siblings, the disciples, all travel to Capernaum after the wedding, and according to scripture, abide there for several days. In today's passage, this royal official travels from Capernaum, where his son remains ill. And Capernaum will continue to be an important emphasis in the book of John. It's almost like Jesus, like God circles around those things that he wants us to focus in on. There will be many important events and truths that are revealed there. And this is something that we've seen in scripture previously, but it's just reinforced in the book of John. Place matters. We spent the middle of the week in the hospital. Pretty relevant considering the topic of today's story is the determination of this father to see a loved one well. Seeing someone hurting and in pain is really difficult, especially when there's not anything that you can do to fix it. This official must have heard about the healing and the miracles that surround Jesus, and he walks a day's journey to find Jesus and to ask for help. I don't know if that's belief, that's hope, or if that is desperation, but I know that I saw evidence of all three in our experience this week. I doubt that there is any place where there's more open conversation about God than there is in a hospital waiting room. Seems that people need to believe that there is a higher power that guides their situation. They need to believe in the power of prayer. And it's one of those places where science and faith agree that there truly is power in prayer. We felt the power of your prayers over the past few days, and we are so grateful for a community of care and concern. It's a powerful force, and it is an amazing gift. There is hope in those places, hope that this treatment will be effective, that this medicine will work, that this doctor can provide answers. There is even hope that when everything that this world offers fails, that there is something beyond. I lost count of the times that they announced code blue for room 2107, and every time I thought about the person, the family member, the medical professionals, and the range of emotions that must be accompanying that situation. I saw firsthand the past few days what desperation looks like. In some, it looks like angry outbursts. For many, it's concern that is so great you're willing to sit out in your car during a snowstorm just for the opportunity to trade off and on for moments shared with a loved one. For caregivers, it looks like exhaustion, worry, and stress beyond all belief, and yet also resilience beyond measure. Place is theology in John, and today, we sit in a place that no man ever chooses to be, and yet many find themselves. Identity also matters in the book of John. Who are Jesus' own? In chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, we were told that Jesus came to his own, and yet his own people didn't accept him. But to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God who were born not of blood or of the will of flesh or of the will of man, but of God. Now, the Cana to Cana cycle provides the answer to that question, who are his own? All nationalities and ethnicities. Scripture is very clear. We are not bound by our own blood, but by the blood and the water that came from the side of Jesus as he birthed church from the cross. Originally, the band was scheduled to sing Power in the Blood as our lead-in song for praise and worship. I don't know that we've done that song for as long as I've been in this church, but one of my favorite memories from my home church in Tonkawa was sitting in front of Clinton Evans as he would sing that song, two songs actually, Power in the Blood and Victory in Jesus. He sang it with such incredible conviction. You absolutely knew that he believed the words that he was singing with every cell in his body. Whatever his life experience was, his belief in Jesus came through when he would sing those songs. That's another indicator of the children of God, belief. This verb is used 98 times in the book of John and always as an action, never as a noun. This man seeks Jesus out and asks him to heal his son. And Jesus responds, unless you all, which is how the word translates as a plural, unless you all see signs and wonders, you all won't believe. Why use a plural when speaking with an individual? Well, this is common in the book of John, who tends to use characters to represent people groups. Nicodemus, who represents the Jewish religious leaders, the Samaritan woman, who represents the enemy or the other, and in this case, a royal official representing Gentiles. And Jesus expresses this impatience towards those that need a sign in order to believe. I found that significant because usually when we think of those requesting signs in order to believe, we think of the Pharisees or the Jewish officials, not Gentiles. And yet in this instance, it seems that Jesus gently reminds us we all have the tendencies to require or to need a sign in order to believe. And yet what he requires is something different. What is required by God is that faith that walks not by sight, but that faith that is rooted and grounded in this knowledge and understanding that God is faithful in all times. Had to ask myself, though, is that really a fair judgment of this royal official? I mean, after all, just like Jesus' mother at the wedding, he already believes in Jesus' ability to help. And just like Jesus' mother, he doesn't give up, but he presses forward on the behalf of somebody that he cares about. And Jesus commands him, go, declaring, your son lives. And he does. Like believing, living and life are some of John's favorite words. John begins with life. In him was life, and life was the light of the world. And then life is mentioned throughout all of John. In John 10:10, I come that they may have life and have it to the full. John ends again with that theme of life, where he says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that in believing you might have life in his name. This man believes, and it results in his son living. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the fullness of life brought to this man and his family? I read this quote in Working Preacher commentary this week, and it made me one of my new favorite quotes. Abundant life is infectious. Infectious has become kind of a foul word in the last couple of years, but we're called to flip that table. You have been appointed to infect your world in the same way that COVID has affected this generation. Think about that. God has placed you to infect the people who surround you with life, live to the full, even in darkness and in death that surround us, maybe especially in darkness and death that surround us. You were created to be a change maker. I felt very convicted to share that truth in this message today. The word believe occurs a second time in verse 50. We see this deepening belief and this greater understanding of who Jesus is. Jesus speaks a word and it happens, just as God did in the creation of the universe. This is a story that is written for our benefit, for our understanding. And if we pay attention, in it, we will see that Jesus has the ability to heal from a distance, showing his power over life and death. This is no small God that we serve, and this is no small life that God has called us to step into. The fever left the seventh hour. Seven is the number of completion. Last week, The Samaritan woman had 5 husbands, 1 relationship that was not her husband, and then an encounter with Jesus. Number 7, do you see how those 2 truths tie together? Please recognize in it the beauty and the mystery in these little tidbits of scripture, full of treasures if we take time to seek. You know, I remember the first time that God revealed to me one of these amazing gems that created this deeper desire to dig in and discover more. I pray that you've had that experience. God's word never disappoints. We may regret that we didn't spend more time digging into and engaging in God's word, but we will never regret the time that we dug into and engaged in God's word. My favorite part follows. Not only this man, but his whole household believes. It was customary in that time that the religion of the head of the house determined the religion of the whole family, but John seems to take it a step further, indicating a faith found in every individual. And that's not only this week, but also last week as well. The Samaritan sought out Jesus because of the testimony of the woman at the well, but came to know him on their own personal belief because of their experience in seeing that power of Jesus for themselves. I doubt that I am the only person that wants to have that effect on others, especially on my family, that what they see in me, that my faith and commitment to Jesus is something that they come to know and have for themselves, even greater faith than mine is actually my hope. My regrets revolve around the way that I got in the way instead of enabling that faith to develop. However, greater than my regret is the sincere belief that Jesus is bigger than my faults and failures, that Jesus hears my prayers and will bring healing, physical, emotional, and spiritual, and those I love, as well as in the others that I encounter. One of the amazing aspects of John is this array of characters who we can study, compare, and contrast as we learn how to become true, faithful disciples who live abundant lives that are infectious in a good way. Amen.